To Be a Buddhist. Author, Thich Tri Thursday. Translated by Nguyen Jack.
First and foremost, what should a Buddhist believer comprehend and do?
First, we must grasp the fundamentals of the Buddha's teaching. Second, we must build confidence in the three jewels. And finally, we must put the five precepts into practice in our daily lives.
Why in that order?
Whatever you do, you must understand why you are doing it. Only through understanding can you build righteous faith and the resolve to practice in order to benefit yourself, your family, and society. Belief in me without understanding me is slandering me, Buddha declared.
What are the fundamental principles of the Buddha's teaching?
Do not do evil. Diligent in doing good. Keep your thoughts pure.
What is evil?
Evil is defined as unreasonable actions, words, and thoughts that harm oneself and others both in the present and in the future.
What is good?
Good is defined as actions, words, and thoughts that are reasonable and beneficial to oneself and others both in the present and in the future.
What exactly is pure thought?
Pure thoughts are those that are right, not greedy, not angry, not arrogant, not jealous, and do not cause misery for yourself or others. When pure thoughts manifest themselves in actions, you act righteously. When pure thoughts manifest themselves in words, you talk kindly, making your life and the lives of others serene, pleasant, and beautiful.
Is any religion or doctrine that promotes doing good and avoiding evil any different from Buddhism?
Yes, that's right. But speaking is one thing, and practicing it, as said or not, is another. That is, whether doing good or avoiding evil is logical or not, because if the proponent of a theory is not completely enlightened, that theory is far from flawless.
Where is the evidence that a theory is true and that practice is as correct as the theory?
Just look at the life story of the founder of this religion and the history of its spread.
How did the Buddha live his life?
The Buddha lived according to his teachings. It fits so perfectly that Western archaeology scholars, when first studying Buddhism, thought the Buddha was a mythical, historical figure.
What about the missionary history of Buddhism?
Buddhism has a very good missionary past, never causing harm to anyone, never going to war with anyone, and never having anything resembling a holy war. On the contrary, wherever Buddhism goes, there will be peace.
So, how should we conclude about Buddhism?
The Buddha and his followers have spent nearly 26 years setting positive examples of doing good and avoiding evil.
What has made Buddhism so perfect?
Because of the third unique feature, keeping thoughts pure. Thoughts direct and guide actions. If thoughts are pure, actions must also be pure.
So, should Buddhism pay special attention to the role of thought?
That's right. Many thousands of sutras and treatises that are currently being passed down all teach how to distinguish between righteous and perverted thought. The goal of the 84,000 Dharma gateways is to purify thoughts.
To accomplish the three main points above, what must be done first?
One must begin with a righteous mind to believe in the three jewels, for the sutras say, faith is the source of the path, the mother of bliss.
What is righteous faith?
The definition of righteous faith is believing in things that are truthful, logical, have practical advantages, and follow the law of cause and effect. That also means not believing in things that are ambiguous, irrational, and dangerous, such as incorrect belief in the devil and wrong theocracy.
What are the three jewels?
Those are the three jewels, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Buddha is a transliteration of Sanskrit, referring to the sages who have been fully enlightened and thereby completely liberated from the cycle of birth and death. In Chinese, it means the person who has already attained enlightenment. Dharma is a transliteration of Sanskrit, referring to the teachings of the Buddha, because those teachings accurately represent the truth of the universe and human life, are used as a golden mold and a jade ruler in the eradication of suffering, and bring you eternal happiness. Sangha is a transliteration of Sanskrit, referring to a group of four or more people who follow the Buddha's teachings and live in the spirit of six peaceful principles. In Chinese, it is called the Harmony of Assemblies. Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha are the goals that Buddhists must respect and depend on.
Why are Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha called the three jewels?
Many people believe that gold, silver, jade, and high power are precious, but you should ask yourself, when the flow of life changes, and you encounter robbers, epidemics, etc., how will material possessions make you less miserable? Are those assets then causing us even more suffering? That is not to argue that riches and power will vanish one day, while gold, silver, and jade may come and go today, no one has ever retained their material stuff forever. In this impermanent world, it is common for people to ascend to the top and then fall to the bottom. Only the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha have the four attributes of permanence, bliss, self, and purity at all times. And those who accept Buddha's teaching make a promise to save all sentient beings without regard for foe or friend, relative, or stranger. Because of the four virtues of permanence, happiness, self, purity, and the great vow to save all sentient beings, they call Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha the three treasures.
What benefits accrue from having righteous faith in the three jewels?
The blessings of righteous faith in the three jewels cannot be adequately explained, thought about, or discussed.
Can you tell me some of the benefits of having righteous faith in the Buddha?
The sutras say, the Buddhas of the Ten Directions love and miss sentient beings as a mother loves and misses her child. When a son responds to his mother's boundless love, putting all his trust in his mother's immeasurable position of wisdom, like a Buddha, it is like a person walking in the dark with a torch to light the way through dangerous places and will not worry or fear.
What are the benefits of righteous faith in the Dharma?
The Buddha taught that when you create good causes, you will get good results. If you create bad causes, you will suffer bad results. The law of cause and effect is a valid law. Buddha also taught that all sentient beings are Buddhas to be, which means that everyone has the potential to become a Buddha. So, If you accept and do exactly what the Buddha taught, you will undoubtedly be rid of delusion, achieve enlightenment, and be happy.
Is the Buddha's teaching only so much?
There are many other Buddhist teachings, but in general, they are not outside the law of cause and effect.
What are the benefits of righteous faith in the Sangha?
The Sangha are individuals who represent the Buddha and carry on the mission of teaching in the same way that the Buddha did before entering Nirvana. Having represented the Buddha, the Sangha is the Buddha. The benefits of righteous faith in the Buddha are the same as the benefits of righteous faith in the Sangha in terms of creating merit and virtue.
When you have started a righteous faith, what else do you do?
You have to take refuge in the three jewels.
What does it mean to take refuge?
Taking refuge means turning back to depend on. Because of their delusions, sentient beings are drawn to lust and drowned and floated endlessly in the sea of samsara's sorrow, like a wild youngster engaged in the call of wandering wanderers, rolling in the dusty breeze, tasting all kinds of sour and spicy sensations. Now the wandering son awakens, wishes to end his wandering existence, and wishes to return to his hometown in peace to seek refuge. This is known as taking refuge.
What does it mean to take refuge in the Buddha?
That means turning to take refuge in the Buddha, worshipping the Buddha as a teacher, and vowing for the rest of one's life not to worship gods, spirits, demons, or animals.
What does it mean to take refuge in the Dharma?
That is, to take refuge in the Buddha's teachings, to use them as a torch to light the way, and to promise never to succumb to the lures of evil spirits and other faiths to promote false doctrines.
What does it mean to take refuge in the Sangha?
That is, to return to relying on the Sangha, to recognize the Sangha as the living Buddha, to set an example worthy of following, and to promise not to associate with wicked companions or evil gangs for the rest of your life.
It is stated that there are numerous Buddhas in each of the world's 10 directions. Therefore, which Buddha should be venerated more?
Having been the same fully enlightened being, every Buddha has the same perfect wisdom and equal compassion for all sentient beings. However, depending on which Buddha they believe has a more predetermined relationship with sentient beings, they will worship that Buddha, much as Pure Land practitioners worship Amitabha Buddha and Tantric practitioners worship Dynhat Buddha. Worshipping the Buddha Shakyamuni, on the other hand, is the most fitting because he is the master of our samsara realm in the present.
Is Buddha a real historical character or just a myth?
Buddha is a historical character who was born more than 2,500 years ago as Siddhartha Gautama, the son of King Suddhodana and Queen Maya in northern India's Kapilavastu region, now Nepal. He left home at the age of 19 to seek the path to enlightenment, just as he was ready to take over his father's crown. Shakyamuni Buddha acquired perfect enlightenment under the Bodhi tree at the age of 30. After reaching Buddhahood, he preached throughout India, relieving the suffering of innumerable sentient beings. He passed away at the age of 80 in the Sala forest on the boundaries of the kingdom of Kushinagar. His life was practiced as he preached his beliefs.
Are the Buddha's teachings still complete today?
The Buddha's teachings, comprising the three canons of Sutra, Vinaya, and Abhidhamma, are still intact and have been translated into numerous languages. For a long time, the Buddhist canon has been fully translated into Chinese, known as the Chinese Tripitaka. The Buddhists in Vietnam have just started translating many texts. That teaching is known as Dharma in Sanskrit and Pháp in Chinese and Vietnamese.
Why did the Chinese translate the Sangha as harmony of assemblies?
Because of the Sanskrit word Sangha, four or more of Buddha's students should live in harmony with each other in the spirit of the six harmonies in a monastery. 1. To be harmonious physically. 2. To be harmonious verbally. 3. To be harmonious mentally. 4. To be harmonious in the precepts that we keep. 5. To be harmonious in the views that we hold. 6. To be harmonious in how we share the requisites we receive.
If I don't take refuge in the three jewels, will there be any harm?
If you do not take refuge in the three jewels, there will be a lot of harm. First and foremost, you will not be able to get near to the Sangha in order to be taught the proper way to practice. Second, you will not be able to learn and discriminate between good and wrong. After all, you won't be able to cultivate a positive relationship with the Buddha in order to be saved by the Buddha. According to the sutras, those who do not take refuge in the Buddha will perish in hell, those who do not take refuge in the Dharma will perish in the world of the hungry ghosts, and those who do not take refuge in the Sangha will perish in the animal domain.
Why?
Because greed, hatred, and illusion are the root causes of misery and samsara. Those who do not take refuge in the Buddha and do not copy the Buddha's compassion will experience a rise in their anger on a daily basis, and anger is the cause of hell. Those who do not seek refuge in the Dharma and do not learn the Dharma to discriminate between good and wrong will discover that their desire is easily aroused, and greed is the cause of hungry ghosts. Those who do not seek refuge in the Sangha will have no clean and gentle example to follow the good and will dwell in dense delusion, which is the cause of rebirth in the animal realm.
I want to take refuge in the three jewels. What should I do?
You should find a respectable and knowledgeable monk or nun who will act as the Sangha's representative and perform a ceremony to transfer the three refuges in front of the Buddha's altar. While listening to the three dharmas of refuge, your mind should be single-mindedly oriented to the three jewels, and you should sincerely promise to retain them for the rest of your life, no matter what. Thus, the ceremony of taking refuge is accomplished.
If I believe in Buddha but have not taken refuge, can I be called a Buddhist?
Only after you embrace and uphold the three refuges in front of the Buddha's altar, as conveyed by pure monastics, will you be considered a Buddhist, an Upasaka, male lay person, or an Upasika, female lay person.
What is Upasaka? What is Upasika?
These two words are Sanskrit transliterations that refer to the men and women who are close to the three jewels, serve the three jewels, and are always protected by the three jewels.
After receiving and upholding the three refuges, Do Buddhists need to do anything else?
The three refuges are like giving you two eyes on the path of serving the three jewels, and the five precepts are like giving you two legs. When you have your sights set on something, but you need to take a step forward to get there, the five precepts are the first step to becoming a noble Buddhist.
What are the five precepts?
1. Refrain from taking life. 2. Refrain from taking what is not given. 3. Refrain from sexual misconduct. 4. Refrain from wrong speech. 5. Refrain from intoxicants that cloud the mind.
How to refrain from taking life?
That is, don't think about killing and don't kill any living being, even if that living being is an animal, because they know suffering as we do. On the contrary, Buddhists must always respect and save the lives of all living beings. There is no greater crime than killing, and there is no greater merit than saving lives.
How to refrain from taking what is not given?
That is, do not directly or indirectly cheat to take people's property. A great calamity comes with a greedy thought, and great blessings come with charitable donations.
How to refrain from sexual misconduct?
That is, do not contemplate or engage in sexual behavior outside of your marriage or with the spouses of others. On the contrary, it is necessary to behave righteously toward everyone in all circumstances.
How to refrain from wrong speech?
That is, don't speak cruelly, don't speak falsely, don't speak backward, don't speak deceitfully, and don't speak against the truth. On the contrary, you must speak truthfully, directly, and compassionately for your own and others' benefit.
How to refrain from intoxicants that cloud the mind?
Alcohol is a cause of mental disorders. In the present, alcohol is the cause of many diseases. In the future, alcohol will be the cause of ignorance. The sutras say that alcohol is more evil than poison. Buddhists strive to cultivate knowledge, encourage wisdom in order to learn the truth, and avoid drinking alcohol at all costs. In addition, do not use other nerve stimulants such as opium and spices such as shallots, garlic, etc.
What is the practical use of the five precepts?
It means creating just and worthy people to be loved by all. In the family, Buddhists are good fathers, filial sons, and, at the national level, good citizens. If all mankind keeps the five precepts, society will be joyfully peaceful, and the world will be at peace.
Is it difficult to follow all five precepts?
The person who keeps the five precepts is called the perfect Upasaka, male, or the perfect Upasika, female. The person who can only keep two precepts is called the partial Upasaka or the partial Upasika. The person who keeps the three precepts is called a half Upasaka or a half Upasika. The person who keeps the four precepts is called mostly Upasaka or mostly Upasika. If you are unable to keep all five precepts, choose two that you can experience and maintain to make a commitment to sustain. Later, when you get used to it, you will make a vow to uphold the five precepts.
What if I can't uphold any precepts?
Is it possible that a Buddhist who has already taken refuge in the Three Jewels still holds many evil qualities?
What should I do if I circumstantially or unintentionally breach any of the precepts after making a promise to maintain them?
Repent before the Three Jewels and vow not to do it again. The important thing is that during repentance, if your heart feels ashamed and sincerely repents, the sins will disappear, and your mind will return to the same pure state as before.
Is it feasible to simply follow the five precepts and not seek refuge in the Three Jewels?
Taking refuge in the Three Jewels is having the right view, and upholding the five precepts is having the right precept. Sutras say that having the right view is more important than having the right precept. If you keep only the five precepts but do not seek refuge in the Three Jewels, you will fall deeply in the future, even though you will still enjoy the blessings of wealth and prosperity in heaven or the human realm, because you are not guided by the Three Jewels.
After I take refuge in the Three Jewels and observe the five precepts, should I advise others to do the same?
It is a great merit if you can persuade one more person to take refuge and keep the five precepts, therefore decreasing society's evil and suffering. The sutras say, of all the offerings, offering to the Dharma is the highest. Making a gift to the Dharma also implies that you live in line with the Dharma and counsel others to do the same.
As mentioned above, the right faith is believing in the law of cause and effect. So what is the law of cause and effect? And what does it have to do with the five precepts?
Really related. But first, let's find out what the law of cause and effect is. The cause is analogous to a sprout in a seed, and the effect is analogous to fruit on a tree. The fruit is made by the sprout, and not to be confused with one another, each sprout makes its own fruit. The bitter tree will produce bitter fruit, while the sweet sprout will produce sweet fruit. This law of cause and effect is not caused by one or more causes, but there must be an effect if there is a cause. The law of cause and effect governs all life and pervades the universe. Nothing escapes the law of cause and effect. Even the great teachings of the Buddha only expound the law of cause and effect.
What about the relationship between the law of cause and effect and the five precepts?
While you refrain from taking life and release living beings, that is the cause of living a long life without illness. While you refrain from stealing and give charitable donations, that is the cause of lasting riches. While you refrain from sexual misconduct, you will have the fruit of a happy reunion in the family. While you refrain from wrong speech, you will have trust and love and not be deceived. While you refrain from alcohol and intoxicants, you will have the fruit of wisdom. These are just a few of the common results.
Why do some people labor hard from childhood to adulthood, never steal from anyone, and still struggle their entire lives?
It is the result of causes in a past life. The law of cause and effect is very complex and not as simple as ordinary people think. There is the concurrent cause and effect, there is the non-concurrent cause and effect, and there is the changed cause and effect, etc. The concurrent cause and effect is like when you knock, the ear will hear the sound. The non-concurrent cause and effect is like growing rice today, and 3 months later, you can eat it, or like a careless action from a year ago, 100 years later, you will see the harm. And the changed cause and effect is like a good plant grown in bad soil, and without fertilizer, the fruit will turn bad.
Everything in this universe follows the law of cause and effect. So, if the father practices well, the father will achieve good results, and if the son practices well, the son will achieve good results. What is the relationship?
Yes, that is correct. All encounters in life are due to conditions. A person who is born into a certain house must, of course, somehow be harmonious with the people in that house. There are families with many children, some of whom are intelligent and gentle, while others are stupid and cruel. It is because of the temperament and behavior of the parents at the time of conception. If the child is conceived while the parents do many good deeds and have a good disposition, the child born into that family must be a good child, and vice versa. Therefore, parents who live in good faith will have children who are filial and intelligent.
Who created the law of cause and effect?
It is a natural law. Like the laws of science, no one has set it up. The Buddha, through his enlightenment, saw that law and showed us the way. It is a law that anyone who makes good causes will enjoy good results, and anyone who makes bad causes will suffer bad results. There is no God, no spirit, no demon, or no animal who can resist or interfere in making rewards and punishments.
So why do we worship Buddha and bow to him?
Worshipping and kneeling on a regular basis to express our gratitude and love for the Buddha, and vowing to follow in his footsteps of compassion, loving kindness, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. Additionally, bowing to the Buddha is a practice that assists us in purifying the three karmas of speech, mind, and body. While bowing to the Buddha, you stand, view, and admire the Buddha, hence, your body is purified. While you recite the name of the Buddha and don't say the wrong things, your speech is purified. While you think about the four virtues, compassion, loving kindness, sympathetic joy, and equanimity, and immeasurable merits of the Buddha, your mind is purified. Because sin is created by three negative karmas, you are now purifying your three karmas, destroying your sins, and giving birth to the merits.
What are the benefits of being mindful of the Buddha, or Nim Phat, in Vietnamese?
Being mindful of the Buddha means you remember and think about the Buddha. When you recall and think of the Buddha, you can't remember or think of anything else, and your mind is cleansed. The Dharma door of being mindful of the Buddha, i.e., the Pure Land, is the most sacred and easiest to practice.
What are the benefits of chanting the sutras?
If you chant the sutras and keep being mindful of the Buddha, you will reap several benefits that cannot be imagined or explained. Those who read and chant the Buddha's words will gradually be permeated with the purity and clarity of the Buddha, and a day of practice will naturally bring you one step closer to the Buddha. Chanting the sutras and being mindful of the Buddha for a long time will blur the distinction between your mind and the Buddha's mind. So, your mind is the Buddha's mind, and vice versa.
Why do we have to be vegetarian?
All living beings have feelings and consciousness like us, and all experience suffering like us, that is, covetousness for life and fear of death. Why should we heartlessly cause suffering to other living beings while we are also afflicted with so much suffering? Therefore, Buddha taught us to eat vegetables to show compassion for animals. Those who have already taken refuge must eat vegetarian at least twice a month, on the full moon and the first day of the lunar month calendar.
Does Buddhism say there are demons?
Apart from the law of cause and effect, Buddhism admits nothing. But whoever wants something, a cause arises, will get it, and effect arises accordingly. If your mind always remembers and thinks of ghosts, they will appear. In the sutras, there is a ghost story as follows: there was a woman who was raped by devils and tried thousands of measures to get rid of them without success. Later, after meeting a monk who taught her the three refuges, she genuinely recited them day and night, naturally no longer seeing any ghosts, and she resumed her happy life.
Is it correct in the Dharma to ask the Buddha to aid you with something while chanting the sutras and being mindful of the Buddha, and would the wish be granted?
If you put your whole heart into it and practice having a pure mind like the Buddha's in order for good causes to arise, the Buddha and you will naturally sympathize with each other, and excellent outcomes will follow. To fully complete the merit, it is still necessary to keep your thoughts pure, avoid evil things, and diligently perform good things, as the Buddha taught. Do not do evil. Diligent in doing good. Keep your thoughts pure. That is the Buddha's teaching. And I'd like to share this merit with all disciples and sentient beings, wishing them success on the Buddha's path. This article was typed and shared by Tian Thong.